We started our rental business in 2019, right before COVID.
Fast forward 4 years later,
we generate $2.8 million at 40% profit margins, and we are now currently in a $4 million warehouse.
It's not too late to start your rental business this year.
Stay tuned as we discuss how you can start a rental business in the event rental industry today. It's time for you to get started today. If you haven't got started, get the ultimate checklist. If you got the ultimate checklist, you have no excuse. Go ahead and get started. So this is the day, and we're going to walk you through exactly what you need to do with $10,000. That's all you need to start with on this one here so you can get going. So at first, I want you to find a good location in a storage place. The best location is what, Eddie?
At home.
At home. Perfect.
Free.
Free. If it's free, take three. Remember that going forward. So go, if you have a garage, do it there. You have a shed, do it there. Use that space. If you have a back patio that's covered or anything like that, do it there. If you have an extra spare room, kick grandma out the room and put your stuff in there, or leave grandma in the room on the stuff. Doesn't matter. But you need to get started on there. Yeah. And you need to choose the best location. So you don't need to start with no huge 12,000 square foot warehouse, or you need to be in some huge storage unit. If you have anything, you're not in like no apartment, nothing like that, you probably have a space you can put in and get started. You can get started, get your chairs, and get going. So that's the first thing. Now, if you are in an apartment, then you need to, you have a couple options. If your apartments offer, like the garages?
Yeah, like the bottom level garage.
Yeah, if they offer the bottom level garage and it's cheaper than a storage unit, you need to look at that. Or if it's in a 25% range, because if your storage unit is 5 miles away from your house, you're less likely to go over there than to take five steps down and go to it. So that's kind of the general flow from that. Because basically, Eddie started in his garage. He basically used half the garage to get set up and get started. I started in a storage unit. It was a 10 by 10 storage unit. And then as we worked together, we built into what we got into. But we never was we didn't go outside of that area until we already was making over $20,000.
Yeah.
You can make really good money and just using those systems, a storage, your own space, and kind of walk from there. You don't have to get no huge warehouse or something like that for now. But that is something you want to get in the future. So the next thing you're going to be looking to is like, you know, the inventory. Now, this is the part where everybody gets stuck on there. You got $10,000, Eddie. $10,000. So Eddie's going to give you his, and I'm going to give you mine.
I mean, this varies from person to person what kind of aspirations you have, your area as well. One thing that I did is I just used the free stuff, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. And so just to test the waters, just throw your bait out, throw your fishing line, see if the fish are biting. And that's how I judge what I should buy. And then, I started off with tables and chairs. And then I also got a bounce house, which later we phased out. But at the time, I was super excited because I have kids and they love to jump on that thing. And it went out. But knowing what I know now, it's just a lot of work for what it gives. Not saying it's wrong, but you know, if you want to take that route, you can take that route. But just see what your market's demanding. You don't want to buy something and just sit in the garage not making money. So see what's out there. Even if you don't have the item, just post it, say you have it, and see what kind of demand or feedback you get back from your community, and see if they're hungry for that specific item.
Yeah. So let's say that you have 1,000. This is what I would do, and I'm pretty sure you'll be on this. Mm-hmm. I would spend, I think the tents are around $1,700 each, somewhere in that $1,700 to $1,800.
Yeah.
So let's say that's 51. So I get three 20 by 20s. Hopefully you get the player deal like we got, where they sent Eddie double. And they didn't send double of the opening though. Like, come on, Salina. You messed up on that one.
Yeah, somebody got fired probably.
Yeah, 100% got fired. So that's $5,100. Then the next thing would be just chairs and tables.
Yeah.
And so I would probably spend most of my money on chairs because you need to get them there. Mm-hmm. The tables you can always go pick up.
Yeah.
So if you're going to spend $3,000 on chairs, at the time when we started, the chairs were $9.99. Now the chairs run between $13 to $17, depending on where you get them from, plus the shipping. So you can be looking at possibly getting like 250 chairs, and then for $3,000. And then, actually, I probably bumped that to 4,000. And then, because you can always go get the tables. As you get jobs, you go get the tables.
Yeah, you can go run the store and buy it. Chairs, yeah. you can't really.
You can't really do it. And you can even find, some people will, if you go on Facebook Marketplace, some people will rent tables for half the price that you would rent them for too as well. So you could go through that if, in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Use their stuff.
Yeah, use their stuff.
Build your business.
Yeah, but not a long time solution, but short. But if you do it for a short time. So let's say that we add another 3,000. So you're looking at, let's say, 325 chairs. Decent amount of chairs, probably just basic white chairs. Then we'll spend another $1,000 on tables. Tables that I personally will probably get will be 6 foot. And if you can find 40-inch rounds, probably you just stay with those.
Yeah.
So both of those are around like $50. So you can get up to 50 tables, which would be more than your the chairs you have. You still will offer linens. You just will get them. When someone pays for them, you will get them sent to you. So you'll do that until you build up your thing on there. But then you have your items. And from that, your 20 by 20s, your 3 by 20s will get you about, you know, $1,200 before any other fees that you get from that. Each one of your chairs with the 325, let's say, depending on where you're at, let's just say the average cost is like, because I think our cost is $180, but if you go up to like Chicago, like $250, say $2 on there. So that gets you another $750 right there. And then your tables, you have 50 tables. Tables are kind of all over places. I think like $10 now for like the lowest table.
No.
So you'd be looking at, you know, another $500. So if you put all that together, that's 20, let's see. Yeah, so that's $2,450. So this is before delivery fees, before damage waiver, any of that other stuff that you tax, any of that stuff that you add into there. So you can start off making $10,000 a month with just the rental items. The first, so when you start off this way. Plus, you add your linens, which if you clean them yourself or and do all that process, you have, you know, you make $30 and stuff on each linens. I think our lowest linen now, which is like the 90-inch round, is like $24, $25. The highest one is like $35 on there.
Yeah.
So we have that that you can go through. So you'll be looking at the basically $25 a week. So that gets you $100,000 or more in a year.
Yeah.
And you can start off right there. And that could be most of the stuff you need. And then that's just a little bit, and you will take some of that money and reinvest it. So that's kind of like, which I think, like, if tomorrow and we were going back, like, so when we go back to our physical Austin location, we do that, we'll probably do some type of thing of that. Maybe it'll be like, you know, with 20,000, we'll spend half the money on tents, chairs, and do tables because we can get them from there. But something along that lines. So that's what we would do. So the next thing that you're going to want to do as you go through the inventory is going to be, this will always be your hardest part. We talk about this right here. I found a word for this issue. It's called dichotomy. You don't remember what I said?
Yeah, I remember what you said, but yeah. Go ahead and explain it's it to everybody.
Dichotomy. So we're going to put up the definition here in case I'm wrong on this right here. But a dichotomy basically is something that is always consistent, always going to be there. I say this to the employees, as we've seen from over 4-something years doing this, that like you can fix systems, you can get better equipment, you can get better people, you can get better locations, but one thing is going to stay consistent and stay stuff. You are going to work on the employees. Now, over time, the level of employee you get will go up, but it will be always something that you always have to manage. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's going to be like, you know, oh, we're good. We don't have to change no more. Specifically in this industry. I'm not saying in all industries you can't get to a point like that where it can be like that. And you don't have to be like me or Eddie or you actually managing it. It could be the actual, like your manager, your lead, someone like that. But you're going to have to stay on your employees just because, you know, we're not in the highest level feel. It's not, everyone's not the 100% passionate about what they're doing. So you have to run into that. But, you know, I'm going to let Eddie walk through some of our experiences with Austin, with the four guys we had there, or three?
Yeah, we had. It was. I think it was four.
Yeah, and count Junior too, so five.
Yeah, okay.
We sent him.
Austin was cool. There was a lot of individuals, different personalities, but just like you said, I believe what made the last two the best was the systems that we put in place. You know, managing them, watching them. You know, having certain processes, it's to make things hard for them to mess up, because in reality, most of the mistakes that they make is due to, you know, us as the people that provide the steps and everything, how to do. Because one thing that we know just for the 4 years, people make mistakes. We put them in positions to make less mistakes, and it becomes more successful. And that's what we did with the last two. We had certain procedures that, you know, taking pictures, sending text messages, you know, even going through certain steps before they move on to the next one. That really eliminated a lot of the mistakes that the earlier couple tend to have. So things that you just do for your employees, and also the type of individual that you're looking for as well. There's you got to kind of know their whole backstory. They're not going to tell you everything, but, you know, like more or less like their upcoming, their experiences. When you look deeper into all those things, that, you know, they'll like produce better odds for your team wherever it's at to be successful.
Yeah, and don't be like us, because when we first started, we were using QuickBooks and we were using Google Sheets. But now you can use a software like Rently, and this is your rental management software. It does the inventory management. It goes through and you can do all your sales, pay everything, automatic booking. Beautiful website, as you see right here. So, like, really looking at Rently, it's our partner that we work with. And to be honest, I don't know if we would have built our software at the beginning if Rently would have been there. Because we tried some runs, but the site didn't work the way it's supposed to be. And this really, like, helped us. Like, this, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this changed everything for us. Like, we went from, you know, losing stuff. Like, Eddie's, remember that one time a person used to call, and then we were like, hey, my vent's in 2 hours.
Yeah,
because he had the. Remember, had all these stacks of papers.
Yeah, I remember. It was crazy. And then we even tried another software, but I didn't think it didn't work out very well. And that other one's local. I don't want to talk bad about nobody, but
they're better now. Yeah. They're probably better. I hope. Yeah. But what's the one thing that you're? I remember you had a mentor tell you about pieces of paper.
Oh yeah, yeah. So my career is. I guess growing into a professional. So I write everything in notes because, as everybody knows, I forget a lot of stuff, or at least the people around me know that I'm very forgetful. So I write notes all the time. And my mentor came and said, "Hey, what's that?" And he's like, "Oh, this is all the stuff that I'm about to write in to put in the system." He's like, "Okay, why don't you just put it straight into the system?" It's like, "Well, I like to do this because that way I can grab more." And that was my theory on the whole thing. He's like, "Okay." He's like, "So that's where you keep all the information?" And I was like, "Yep." And he grabbed it and balled it up and threw it in the trash. He's like, "Now what are you going to do? You just lost it." I was like, "Well, it's in the trash." He's like, "No, you lost it. Now what are you going to do with all the information that you're supposed to put in the system?" So long story short, one thing that I learned right then and there is if you put it digitally, if the building burns down, you can access it from a cloud anywhere. So don't try to, if you're in that habit, just try to, you know, move on and put everything in the computer. That way it can be accessed by everybody and anybody at any time.
Yeah, because I know in ours, a lot of those QuickBooks papers disappear somehow, some way. And I don't
know.
Dog
ate it.
Yeah, dog ate it. Fish ate it.
Yeah, right.
Mark.
Oh, man.
But the next area is like the area that I probably loathe. I think that's the right word. The opposite of love.
Yeah.
Not trying to say hate. This area right here is a tough area that you really need to watch. We actually worked with a client on this recently. CJ, shout out CJ out there. We see the new Black Ops that you got. Yeah. But yeah. But let's go into vehicles and tools.
Yeah.
And these are like areas that, like, you know, because Eddie worked at Ford Motor Company. You gotta know that. You know, we don't say it as much. He actually don't say it as much, actually, surprisingly. So for you guys earlier in the podcast, you know, Eddie say that all the time. I haven't heard you say it in a while.
I'm trying to not say it as much.
But let's go through vehicles. Like, what type of vehicle should you get? What's the minimum? What's the no-goes? How does that work?
Well, one thing that I think we know for instance, I remember there was a point in time you and me were like, "Let's get a Ford Ranger."
I think that was me, and you were like, "No," from the start.
Oh, well, I was like, "Whatever." Sometimes, you know, the best lessons taught are the hard way. But anyways, we were like, "Let's get a Ford Ranger," and you know, I think it was like one of those things. Guys, like, "No, I'll get a Ford Ranger," because every Ford Ranger we looked at were like crazy, and like, "What?" And like, "This thing has been wrecked and, like, you know, salvaged and they put back together. It's like a Frankenstein." So it's one of those things we try to leave yourself room to grow. If we would have got the Ford Ranger, we'd immediately need to switch out to a bigger vehicle. So leave yourself room to grow. So now what we do is we buy heavy-duty trucks. If we do buy a truck, usually like F-350 or 3500. It really doesn't matter the brand. So anything you want to do, just something that you can grow into. Because one thing is, as your inventory grows, your order size are going to grow, and that equivalates to weight. And the smaller vehicles, the transmissions, the engines, if they're not designed for that weight capacity, then they start to struggle and they start breaking down a lot faster than they should. So that's one thing that I would say for vehicles. You just want to have room to grow.
Yeah. There's a lot of 250s, the 2500s that mm-hmm. you can buy around like $13,000 to $15,000 that yeah. are pretty good work trucks. And
yeah,
stuff.
Just like the white fleet trucks. Everybody yeah. has those. Yeah.
Yeah, those work out very well. And just throw a trailer on there. Your trailer, as we've seen, because when Eddie had the gray one, it doesn't have to be brand new. The newer it is, obviously, the better it is. But
yeah.
But the trailers are kind of you can buy used. The trucks you can buy used. But like you said, I don't know if we didn't have newer vehicles that was of the 150 series mm-hmm. and the 1500s, it would have worked out. I don't know about buying an older 1500 and then putting it into this type of work where it's not built for it.
Yeah.
Stuff is not going to work out. I mean, we've seen that. Even like the Ranger, to be honest, if we would have got the Ranger now, we probably would still have it. Mm-hmm. I would say that, but I don't know what it would specifically do. Maybe it pulled a little trailer.
I know what it would do. It would be a little errand runner. Just run a little errands I forgot a table. Here, throw that table in that bad boy. Go deliver that one table. That's pretty much all. I would think it would be.
I guess you got to go set the tents.
Or go get linen.
Help stuff out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can see that. So who knows? Maybe we might get a Ranger in the future. But generally, you don't have to go super brand new, and we talk to everybody about that because these are going to be work trucks. Now, when you get to the stage, when you get closer to $5, $10 million, then, you can get the credit lines and go buy them brand new. And then what do you call it when you do it? You'll, it's kind of like leasing it, but you'll, just sell them every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
What's the process on that?
So, yeah, they have fleet leases as well. Yeah, where they'll give you a fleet. And then the cool thing about those, they'll have maintenance plans already built into it. So after you hit certain intervals, you'll send it in. It's all part of your monthly payment. So look into those. There's a lot of good ones out there, like GE Fleet. There's a whole bunch of them.
Don't do the aftermarket people, because they was hitting us with some numbers that were crazy. It's like twice as much of what the other ones would have been.
But, another good thing is to get insurance on your vehicles, too, if it's used. You can get used car insurance. Just make sure you understand what they're selling you. Another thing, make sure
the warranty, right?
Yeah, the warranty, and then
third
party. Yeah, but the only thing here goes the Ford Motor Company experience. So, one thing is to take note is if you have your vehicle wrapped or any kind of advertisement, it's considered a commercial vehicle. So if you do buy a third party warranty, read your contract, because a lot of those say commercial vehicle excluded. Unless you buy a specific one that says they do include commercial vehicles, which will generally be more higher in price. But, if you have something like a magnet or something, just take it off before you go send anything to get repaired. That way it won't say it's a commercial vehicle.
Yeah, maybe you should get the magnet. Everybody should get the
magnet. Yeah, because they send out inspectors and they'll take pictures like, oh, this has been modified, or oh, this is a commercial vehicle, just because of little indicators that they'll do anything they can to deny the claim. So if you do go that route, just be aware of that.
Yeah. So let's go through a couple of different maintenance of when they should do it correctly. I know everybody's different. Oil changes, every quarter, every month,
it depends on the miles, really. If you're putting in a lot of miles, you would do it it depends on the vehicle. So if it's a new brand new vehicle, you can do it like every 5,000. But if it's like an older vehicle, you want to do it more regularly, so like 3,000 miles, somewhere around there. But use a full synthetic too. I preach that, and I mean right now I have a truck out there. I bought it brand new, been using full synthetic oil on it, Mobile One, I believe, yes. And it has 240,000 miles on it. That bad boy's still ticking. And this thing is, I mean, even to this day, I take it everywhere. It goes to Florida and back. It goes to Colorado. It's been all over the place. It's been to Miami, picking up packs and stuff like that. Not just packs. Mm-hmm. No, picking up the tents. Remember, that's where we get our tents from. So I've been over there multiple times. And, I've used nothing but full synthetic oil. So just pay a little extra, and it's going to prolong the engine life on that bad boy.
Yeah. Alignments.
Alignments. Oh, yes. You're going to need alignments, because with a lot of weight and you hit bumps, it's going to throw the alignment out of whack. So on that, if you go like to Discount Tire and you buy your tires from them, they'll balance it for free, and they'll even like tell you like, hey, it's having a little wear. If you see a little wear on the edges, then you want to kind of get it done. But me, I'm kind of like I said, I used to be a service advisor, and I don't really do like the pre, what's it called? The, what is the word? I'm trying to think. Preventative. There you go. Preventative and maintenance. I like to kind of see if it needs that. Cause one thing they always told me, like, don't fix something if it doesn't need to be fixed, you know? So on the alignment, I mean, you can wait or you can kind of keep an eye on it, but you know, for the most part, if you do it like, I don't know, 2 times a year, you'll be fine. To be honest with you, it'll save you on the tires. But to just watch your tires. You can see the front. The front one's the main one you have to watch. If your edges are starting to get kind of bald looking, then yeah, you need alignment. But those are things that you can always have checked by somebody.
Okay, tune up.
Tune up. Oh, that you're good. Like for the most part, you'll do that like every 100,000 miles.
Oh, damn.
5 years, 100,000.
Okay.
So unless you have a turbocharged vehicle, then you're gonna do it every 60.
60,000 years?
60,000 miles. I was like, what? Blew my mind with that.
Okay, so what about, what do you call that one thing that you have to do sometimes? That's only a Texas thing. That's a state inspection. So never mind.
State inspection?
You do that when you need to do that.
But the main thing is you want to make sure your engine and your transmission, that's your main thing. Oh, and your rear end. But if you have heavy-duty vehicles, they should be able to take the abuse. Just change the oil. That's just the main thing. The main reason why these things blow up or have issues is because like the oil's not changed or it's low and it just burns it up. So just watch that and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, and this is where you need to go find a partner somewhere near you, local, that you can buy vehicles from. If it's a used car dealer or a new one, doesn't really matter. You need to find someone who's going to work with you and make sure that you have what you need, so you can be taken care of. So this is the last segment. So now we got our F-250, the Ford 250, F-250, and we got all our equipment, $10,000 mm-hmm. equipment. We're doing it inside of our house, or maybe we got our trailer and we just have it there and we store it there inside the trailer. Who knows at this point? So we can choose one of those. Now we need to get some clients. So Eddie mentioned one of the ways that will be the easiest way to start off to test out your stuff, which is going to be Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, for free.
For free. So that's the first place. The second thing you want to do is set up a Google My Business page. And that'll be really simple to set up, start getting reviews. And that's in the ultimate checklist. There's like a list of 5 different sites you need to do. Just do it from there. Second thing is you need to figure out what type of business you're going to do and what type of person you're going to be in the business. If you know something about ads and you can run that route, there's Facebook and there's Google Ads. Google Ads is going to be more intention-based. Facebook is going to be more discovery-based, and which can be more interest. So you have to choose which one works out best for you. We like intent-based. You can just put the keyword, so whatever you're renting. So if it's chair rentals, table rentals, whatever it is, and you can run it that way. If you're doing Facebook, you need to find people who are going to be having parties or throwing parties and kind of more of awareness standpoint. But as we've seen, you still can get clients on there and it'll work out and it comes out pretty well. So that's the first thing. Now, if you're not good with any of that stuff, you need to go back to the old fashioned, which is straight up cold calling, reaching out to people and then doing quotes and stuff. So this can be getting a list of all the party planners in your area. You should be able to do a Google search, party planners in your area. Look through all the Google My Business profiles, which is in the map section, or look through the searches, get all their information down. And then from there, you can just call each individual one. And then you can just ask them, hey, when you do get a quote, would you mind submitting it with me? Most people will submit it with you just to get the quote on there. So that'll work out for you. Another way that you can do this with caterers. You can do this with anybody who's probably one step above you in the marketing. And based in the process of the lead that you're getting. So most of the time, planners, event planners, all those people are the caterers, the actual venues. You can work with all of them and you can get all this stuff out. It's pretty simple. You can build a business like that. Now, once you kind of conquer that, let's say you want to do straight commercial. Now, on the commercial side, if you have enough tents and enough stuff in there, you can just call up each business and you just offer a packet of what you offer, and then you can work that way. And basically, it's not going to get you jobs immediately. You might get 1 out of 10 of some stuff might just come up. but most of the jobs are going to be in the future that you can work on. And those commercial jobs are very valuable because they're usually recurring and they're repeatable and they're less price sensitive on things. They just want stuff done right and want to do none of the stuff themselves. So if you know that a business is doing 3 or 4 events each year, you can go talk to them and be their main provider, and you can work with them. And that's kind of like you deal kind of with no money too as well. So the idea is to do a mix of all of these and to really build up your business across the board. And also too, like, you need to be doing best work. Your best marketing is your work, and which is going to be, which we have under 4 keys to success, which is going to be being on time, having things clean, doing what you say you're going to do, and just doing those things in the 4 keys. That's going to really build everything off from a marketing standpoint. And then once you get emails, messages and emails, get your social media going. As you see, like Tina, if you see ours, we start recently doing more on there. It just gives people ideas, get people back in the mindset, okay, yeah, it's Keller Rentals, let me come back and work with them, and kind of building that out. The marketing is not too difficult. It's just most people don't take the time to do the things that it needs to be done. So if you do Google AdWords, it's not something you just set and forget. You have to work on that on a regular basis. If you do the Google My Business, you need to be posting photos, answering to reviews, and going through that. We've gave you a lot of information right here, and I hope this really helps you guys help to the next level and really build out your business. I know, like Eddie can tell you from the start, you know, you have ups and downs, and things are going to come up, and these 5 categories are going to have issues all across it. Like one time, your marketing might be way further than, you know, than how many employees you have, your inventory, or your vehicles. And then sometimes your vehicle is going to be further ahead than all of those. You're going to have to move the needle across the board on each one independently. But the whole point is just to get started and get going. And if you need any like personal help with this and you don't know where to start exactly, even with information, you want like a more tailored plan, just reach out to us, set up a schedule, a booking, a call with us, and we'll work through the stuff with you and help you out. We're currently working with a couple of people right now, and we're seeing them doing some very good growth just from little small things, from everything. So from an operational standpoint, so that's kind of where we are. So if you're not getting clients and you've actually, you know, if you're not getting clients and you haven't done this stuff, then don't say it don't work. Because some people do say, oh, this stuff don't work. It's too hard, too much competition.
Yeah.
People are killing it out here.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to kill it too.
It's definitely possible. You just need to try different, you know, it's one of those things that we always say. You try one thing, it doesn't work. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the world. You just need to try different baits, different looks, different methods, but you can run this business anywhere. And that's what I love about the party rental industry. It's just everybody, you know, I just had this discussion the other day with my cousin, because they're like, how did you come up with this? You know, one of the things, like when I worked in the automotive industry, everybody drives a car, everybody has a birthday party, everybody has a Christmas, Hanukkah, a company party, wedding, all these things, that it's not going anywhere. And this is like a perfect industry that anybody can get into, you know, like at a very reasonable cost as well. Yeah, it is a lot of work, but, you know, you just got to change with your market and see what it likes. And once you get that down, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. So let's go into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown.
So what percentage of leads do you expect to book? So for us, that's about 1/3 of the leads. Mm. The lower your prices, the higher it should go. During the slow season, we get to like 40% to 50%, especially during January. You start just accepting things. As long as they're profitable, then let them go. So the next one is, what are the best ways to get leads? For us, we use Google My Business, and then we use Google Ads, Bing Ads. Those work as well. But to be honest, you can use a multitude of different areas on there. There's a lot of them in the ultimate checklist to show you exactly what you need to do. You just need to pick one thing and just work on it. We're about to start doing mailers out too, and we'll be able to get you with the information. But basically everything works. It's just how good you are at it or how good you need to be to work on it. So find one of these areas and work on it. Like you said, Facebook Marketplace is a good place too. All these places work. You just got to be able to do it the correct way. Now, Eddie. So wrap this up for us.
Wrapping it up. Okay, recap of everything. The main thing is just getting out there, trying new things, you know, getting the right vehicles, employees, everything is in the whole, just getting out there and starting the business. And if like Xavier said, if you don't know what to do, ultimate checklist gives you all the information that you need to know. It's more detailed than what we just went over. But that's pretty much it. You just got to get out there, try, and then if you fail, just try again. Just trust in the different.
Yeah. And don't use your personal credit cards to buy stuff. Just don't do that. Don't use that. There's lots of business of financial options out there. There's a couple in the very back on the Othman checklist you can look at. But I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.